Hello and welcome to Elevate to Success, discussions on project management and leadership ideas, tips and techniques of being a project manager, agile practitioner, or a leader in your organization. So let's go. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another episode. And I'm going to talk about emotional intelligence for leaders like yourself. Now, we know that many organizations, they focus on hiring people and developing their hard skills, you know, people that have experience and knowledge and know how to work with people at all different levels of the organization. So emotional intelligence, or EQ as we call it, has set out to be the strongest predictor of performance and long-term success. In fact, there have been studies that demonstrate that emotional intelligence, again EQ, has a major impact on rewarding, collaboration, and satisfying workplace relationships. You know, this in turn leads to a greater productivity in the workplace, and it helps reduce stress and anxiety. It sets higher levels of performance and greater sense of teamwork and camaraderie. So these benefits that I'm going to share with you of emotional intelligence are the foundation of a thriving workplace. With that, you know, a lot of people in the workforce should focus really on developing their emotional intelligence skills. Now, here are some of the real-life benefits of developing emotional intelligence and some additional statistics. So, one of the things about EQ is you'll have greater performance and productivity, as I mentioned earlier. Now, a group from Talent Smart studied about 34 important workplace skills, including EQ, and found that EQ was the highest predictor of work performance. You know, they determined that it correlated to about 58% of success in all job types. The study was also conducted that 90% of top performers had a high EQ compared to only 20% of low performance. So in other words, you know, it's highly unlikely that you would be a top job performer with low EQ. One example of this can be seen in a study of over 40 Fortune 500 companies, which found that programmers in the top 10 percentile of EQ produce software 3 times faster than programmers with low EQ. The same study found that those with higher EQ outperform sales representatives by 50% compared to those with a medium to low EQ. Okay, in terms of greater income, it's not surprising that with the increase in productivity, you would also have an increase of earnings. You know, higher EQ is correlated with a higher income. In fact, people with high EQ make an average of about $29,000 to $30,000 more a year than those with a low EQ. You know, for every point increase in EQ, you add about $1,300 to $1,500 in annual salary. You know, you simply cannot get a stronger correlation than that. You know, most importantly, this was found to be true through all industries and levels. Now, for improved personal skills, EQ can improve thinking and creative skills because it gives you the flexibility to look at problems with different perspectives. Studies have shown that people with higher EQ are also more resilient and flexible when there's challenges arising and are held in higher regard than their peers. Now, for improved leadership skills, you know, as a leader like yourself, having a high EQ helps you empathize, helps you communicate, to inspire, have influence, and meet staff's needs to create a better and more productive work environment. Now, EQ helps you to communicate more effectively as a leader and deal with constructive conflicts as well as politics, and to understand triggers that affect others in a more positive way. And it also helps stabilize and have a happier work environment. Some studies have also found that Fortune 500 companies that implement EQ in their training programs also had an increased work retention of about 67%, saving them millions and millions in recruiting and training costs. Studies have also found that as people develop EQ, they report more being fulfilled in their jobs and satisfied in what they do. Now, in terms of developing of EQ, EQ has also been found to decrease work-related accidents, not to mention all of these impacts the bottom line. You see, When people understand their and others' emotions, they're better able to communicate, which is important as companies with effective communications deliver a 47% greater return to shareholders. You know, like I said earlier, emotional intelligence can be developed. That is why it is valuable to learn how to identify, how to understand, and how to manage your emotions and to teach these to your staff. You know, if you want to become a real good leader, an effective leader, it's really important to understand EQ, to study EQ. Like I said, EQ is especially crucial for leadership, as you are the model for everyone in your organization. Your success is tied to your emotional intelligence, and your team's success is tied to your success. So let me repeat that. Your success is tied to your emotional intelligence, and your team's success is tied to your success. Now, here are some tips for you if you are a leader in your organization or you have some type of leadership role. And they basically focus on the five core emotional intelligence competencies. So this is number one, self-awareness. Now, by being self-aware means that you know and understand your own feelings and how they impact your team. It also means knowing what areas you need to improve in and taking the necessary steps to do so. Now, I've developed more awareness by journaling. I don't know if you folks have done journaling before, but it's a good way of helping in your EQ is journaling. Spend a few minutes a day reflecting on journaling about your day and your experiences, as this will help create more insights into areas to improve and areas that you are doing right and want to expand on it and continue to do right. Also, reflect on the why. Whenever you have a strong emotion, take time to reflect on the why. The better you understand your emotions, the more you'll be able to manage them effectively. Number two is self-regulation. Self-regulation is the key to staying in control. Avoid reacting negatively to a situation or making bad decisions because of a negative emotion by you, your peers, or your team. So look at improving your self-regulation. Now, in terms of self-accountability, you know, don't blame others and instead admit when you are wrong and face the consequences. That's the sign of a true leader. Know what you stand for, know areas that you are flexible in and others where you're not. If you know your ethical code and your values, it's really easier to stand for them and do what is right even when you are in an emotional state. Number three, motivation. Now, as a leader, you also have to be self-motivated so that you can meet your goals and standards. So try to improve your motivation if you lack in motivation. You know, have clear goals that inspire you. Why do you love what you do? What are you trying to accomplish? What do you want your team or office environment to be like? You know, reflect on your level of motivation and what may be holding it back. Always look for solutions rather than focusing on the frustrations of problems. Always look for ways to learn and improve rather than focusing on mistakes, whether it's your own or mistakes of others. When you face a challenging situation, ask yourself what you might be able to learn from it and how it may help you in the future. Many times, our biggest challenges provides us the biggest opportunities. Okay, number four is improve your social skills. Now, successful leaders have great social skills. This means that you'll need to communicate effectively to inspire others to do a great job. You know, when it comes to conflict resolution, your confidence and ability to resolve conflict is really essential, as this is the reason that most employees leave their job or lose motivation in their work. Now, practice your communication skills. There's a lot of tools out there, videos, YouTubes that allow you to help you and develop your communication skills. I might look at doing an episode on a quick, you know, communication skills, skill sets. But, you know, add tools that will help you communicate more effectively with others. You know, you'll need to also reinforce good behavior. In other words, learn how to praise others. People like to, you know, feel valued. Therefore, give praise where praise is due. Look for what is going well and recognize it. Doing this will increase loyalty, respect, motivation, trust within your staff as well as your peers. So the main reasons why leaders fail is lack of emotional intelligence. In fact, research by the Center of Creative Leadership pointed out that the specific part of emotional intelligence that was the most detrimental to leadership success was empathy. Now, Daniel Goldman, author of the famous book Emotional Intelligence, also pointed out that empathy is a foundational piece for all social competencies in a person's career. Specifically, he pointed to these skills: understanding, you know, being able to read other people's feelings, perspectives, and being interested in their concerns. Development, being able to assess employees' development needs and training, helping them gain and experience new tools. Diversity, being able to utilize the benefits of having a diverse team. And then you have politics. Now, the ability to be aware of office politics and handle it effectively. Empathy is essentially for building relationships with staff by listening to the needs they express and tuning into those that are not verbally expressed. You know, this skill is particularly important for managers when handling conflict, giving employee feedback, dealing with difficult employees, having to share bad news, or implementing changes. You know, in these situations, leaders must be able to control their own emotions and then understand and manage their emotions of others in order to ensure success and ensure productive conversations. Okay, as a manager, it's also important to be able to empathize in order to deal with grievances and problems in the organization. So you ask yourself, when someone gives you negative feedback, what do you think? What is your first response in your mind? Are you saying, I'm going to pretend that I care and pretend to listen and then just tell them what I want to tell them? Or do you say, not this again, what a waste of time and energy? Or why can't they just get it done and do as they're told? Now, some managers and some people think this way. Now, the response that should be thought of, and this is focusing on the needs of the individual and the organization. You'll notice the difference in the response. You know, if you're not at this level of focus and thinking, then you'll need to get there in order for you to retain your leadership position. So the question is, if someone gives you a negative feedback, what do you think? And the response would be, maybe I need more information and to know why this is an issue, or what is the real issue here, and what is this person trying to express verbally and non-verbally? Now, as a manager, your goal when an employee comes to you with a concern should be to focus on the other person's needs as well as the needs of the organization. When you put both of those needs first, then you can truly find the underlying cause of an issue. You know, true empathy is developing and understanding one of the person's needs when determining how to meet these needs while also meeting organizational needs. You know, this is done with a lot of effective questioning, such like, can you elaborate more on that? Or can you be more specific? Or I find it interesting and want to understand. Or thank you for sharing. I wasn't aware of that. Can you tell me more about it? Or I want to make sure that I am understanding correctly. You know, keep in mind that nonverbal cues are important to pay attention to it, as over 80% of communication is really nonverbal. So be empathetic. You need to practice seeing what the person is saying with their body, the face, the voice, the posturing, how they look. I know it's difficult right now because everybody is doing Zoom and everybody's using audio instead of using their camera. So again, try to listen, especially if you're doing a Zoom conference. Try to listen to the voices and notice some differences. When approaching difficult conversations with your staff, keep the following empathy tips in mind. During a conversation, ask yourself if there may be underlying issues not being expressed, or is there any agenda being expressed. Try to become aware of emotions that others may be feeling. Keep in mind that your guess is how they're feeling may be incorrect, or you may be right. You know, again, it's an assumption. You know, ask clarifying questions whenever possible. You know, before meeting with someone to address a concern, Prepare open-ended questions that will help you better understand their perspective. When talking to people, practice listening, practice active listening, and letting the other person finish their thoughts without you interrupting them, okay? Allow for people to express feelings and opinions without judging them. You know, catch yourself before saying anything defensive or critical. Know the outcomes you are aiming for and kind of remain focused on what is going to empower, create trust, and strengthen your long-term relationship with your peers and your staff. Okay, until then, I'll check you out on my next episode. This is Elevate to Success, your host, Lloyd Philip B. with Infinity Bold. For more information on how we can help you with your project management, coaching, as well as mentoring, you can go to my website at www.infinitybold.com and send me an email. Please share this podcast and also tell a friend about us. Until then, keep it real.